You know, if there's any of you in here today, and you've been watching the news, and you got your panties in a wad, I hope this sticks with you the rest of the week. We serve a great God. We don't serve a God who's moved by Congress and the Senate. We serve a God who moves Congress and Senate. He moves world leaders. Proverbs says the heart of the king is in his hand, and he moves it as a river. Wherever he wants, that's where God moves it. Right now, the kings have been allowed to do what they want to do, but it's coming a time, folks. God's going to move their hearts. By the way, I want you to understand, God can move their heart in a way that is contrary to what you want. Just ask Moses. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He moved Pharaoh's heart against Israel so that Israel could have a more glorious release. So don't sit and think, well, God hates me. Oh, God, what are you going to do in this world? How can you do anything in this world? God is great. Yes. He is great. There's nothing greater. He is great. So let's remember that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I did have one thing since I've got you all captive. The praise team has moved their practices to Sunday mornings from 9 to 10. We ask you not to interrupt them if you come in early. Okay? Don't talk to them. Don't complain about how loud it is. If it's too loud, go next door. Okay? Have some coffee. But they have to practice, and it's not as loud as you think. You're not in here to absorb the sound. That's what people don't realize. We have to practice loud, or we don't know what it's going to do when it comes out. I used to be the sound man for a rock band, and there was a few times the landlord came beating on the door, ringing on the phone, and a cop showed up. But you have to practice loud. So, because heaven's going to be loud. I mean, seriously, you think that Jesus is coming back to a hymn and a hand clap? It says there's a trumpet going to sound. By the way, does anybody remember where that's going to be seen at first? Israel? We're going to hear it at the same time. That's going to be loud. So anytime I hear weird sounds and I'm outside, I'm like, okay, that's a weird sound. I'm starting to look. I'm like, okay, I got to find this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are a great God. You are a good God. Father, we love you and we honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, today we present to you our tithes and our offerings. Father, I bless them according to your word. May you overflow their accounts. May you cause blessing to come into their lives so that they may bless others. Father, I thank you for rebuking the devourer on their sake and for moving heaven and earth against their enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. And I am roasting. I must be having a hot flash. Take this out. Okay, I gotta shed that. All right. There we go. Well, this week, I had a dream. A dream that kind of bothered me. God speaks to me through dreams, if you don't understand that. I think it says, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, I know what line I crossed. I haven't had a vision in a while. But I had a dream, and it actually, not even a blue funk, a gray funk. You know, blue funks, you kind of go back and reminiscing. Gray funk, you just, what's the point? Nobody wants the word. And in this dream, that's what I was doing. I was preaching. I was establishing a satellite church. And people were coming and coming and coming. And then all of a sudden, one day, this little one-room, it was an old one-room church, was packed. But they weren't there for the word. They were there for entertainment. That was to happen after I got done preaching. And I could not get people to understand, I'm the preacher. I'm here to preach. I told Angela, I stuck my head out the window and I said, it's time for church. And people just weren't coming. And I told her, I said, that was just like taking the wind out of my sails. And I was like, man, I got to preach. And I told her, I said, but there was a message that I had to preach. Only believe. Because I've been asking God, what am I going to preach, Lord? What message do you want me to preach? I've told you before, I don't go, I've got books. I bought a book one time. I was like, are you kidding me? They got canned messages in the Bible. All you got to do is just put notes out and preach them. Which, by the way, this is how many doctrines do it. We want you to preach this. These are the words you're to say. You're not to change it. And so I was like, I never got into that. I don't like canned prayers, if you've noticed that. And I was like, okay, Lord, what's Sunday's message? Only believe. You know, today, and just so you know, as I got more revelation of that dream, the great funk lifted. And the fire. See, I realized what the great funk was. The great funk was the smoke of the fire going out. But revelation brought what was happening. You ever notice you put new wood on top of the fire? What happens? It smokes. Boy, you give it a minute or two, a little revelation of that fire, what it's supposed to do to that new revelation, and you've got a roaring flame. I sat by the fire last night, so it's a great, great analogy. And so God began to show me that I'm supposed to preach this today. Some of you may like me, some of you may not. I don't care. Let's just get that out right now. I love you, but I don't care if you like it or not what I'm about to say. Because as Phil and I were talking earlier, I said, you know, we were talking about people have preached messages similar over the years, but they haven't done it out of love. They just done it out of try to control you. Just like your children, you tell them things because you love them. And that's what I'm trying to do with people in here. That you're my flock. And so it's my job until Jesus, the great shepherd, returns to keep you safe, to keep you going in the right direction. And was it 2 weeks ago when we went to that conference? And it was actually Rod Parsley that brought this up. He said, preachers today, churches are more concerned about entertainment value. Your praise and worship is a rock show. Your smoke show, you got lights, you got this, you got that. And it's like, holy moly. And y'all have been around here long enough, you know, I have never warmed up to that. It's exactly what it is. It's a show. I can manipulate your feelings. Anybody can manipulate your feelings. Make you feel good. Oh, yeah. You know, anybody ever get stuck going to you got suckered into one of those timeshare meetings or life insurance meetings for a free meal? Weren't you tempted? You're like, that sounds like a great deal. Honey, we need this timeshare. We can use it anytime. Oh, wait a minute. Then as you process the information, if you were smart, you said, no, let me process all this information here. Timeshare's a waste. I get it 2 weeks in February? That's awful time. It's prime hurricane season. Or the life insurance. Your premium will never go up from where it's at right now. And you're 25? And you got to pay that every month? boy, if I just put that into something else, I'd have more money. But you got emotional about it. You got wrapped up. You got caught up in it. Instead of sitting down and processing the information. First off, if you're going to look at a home, a business, a car, anything, any major decision in your life, except Jesus Christ, don't delay that one. Wait on it. You know, as Jesse's gotten out of school, he's had some opportunities come up his way. We said, pray. I'm not going to direct his paths. That's God's job now. He wants my advice, I'll give him my advice. Same with all my sons. But you're going to have to pray. Don't jump into a decision. Hey, let's do this crazy thing. You don't think about it. You don't realize, oh, you're hopped up on your emotions. So the church today has become hopped up on emotions, and that's why we have so many leaders in the church. Lack of a really good word to describe these people. Praise and worship leaders, Christian authors, teachers, who are saying, I've lost my faith. You never had it if you lost it. I'm sorry, you didn't understand it to begin with. You know, the Bible tells us not to lay hands on any man suddenly. And I don't mean suddenly grab hold of somebody and throw them out of the way if their car's coming, okay? It's meaning somebody got saved yesterday and they're preaching tomorrow. They don't know their head from a hole in the ground. Paul, I believe it was 14 years before he was actually accepted as a preacher. He needed to learn about Jesus Christ. Now, we can give the disciples all the gripe we want about, well, they were lack of faith. They were with Jesus. How could you be with Jesus? You wouldn't have done any better. They were hand-selected. They weren't the only disciples called. Remember, there were 70 that went out. There was 500 that heard him say, wait in the upper room, and only 120 were there. I mean, 380 left. We wouldn't have done any better. But see, fast forward to now, and we've got light shows. We've got passion plays every Sunday. We got video arcades for the teens. Oh, that would be great, Pastor. It ain't happening. That's not the role of the church. You want to have a fun place for the kids? Pray for God for the money. And there's lots of vacant buildings. By the way, there's a reason they went out. Gangs, drugs, fights, all kinds of other things. Oh, and by the way, everybody can play their own Xbox online at home. So you got, if you want a ministry like that, do that out there. The church is a sanctuary. It's a place where we come, we get fed, not entertained. Our worship should never be about entertaining people. Our preaching should never be about entertaining people. I realize that sometimes I'm a character. That's, if y'all know, anybody's known me for a little bit of time knows, that's really me. Sometimes you get the real me up here. You can ask my wife. There's a side of me that only the people that have been up around midnight get to see. You know, you think the gremlins get a little goofy after midnight. And yes, I try to be funny. You know, Jesse Duplantis says he doesn't try to be funny. I try. I've always thought I was a funny guy until a teacher told me I was smart. Something else on the other end of that besides Alec. The rest of the class got a good laugh out of it. And I wasn't even a class clown. But where churches all over today are assembling in this country to rock concerts. I love rock concerts. Don't get me wrong. Now, I've quit going to them because they want you to stand. They want you to jump. I'm like, seriously? I don't want to stand. I don't want to jump. I want to sit in my chair and I want to watch. I'll even sit in the grass so that I don't have to get up. See, I'd love to go see Kansas sometime. But I know what's going to happen. I'm going to have all these 60 and 70-year-old guys out there with their lighters. And I'm going to be the one that's under 50 sitting back here and like, what the heck, guys? Come on. Just relax. They're here to entertain us. I'm not participating in worship. But here, we come in, we lift our hands, we praise the Lord. If anything we're doing is to draw attention, we don't really believe God. We're there for emotional. Oh, this is my place of emotional support. I don't want to support your emotions. They're all over the charts. I mean, every one of them, if we will admit it, our emotions, man, we get wake up one morning, whoo, yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, devil, you're in trouble. The next morning, and your wife's like, what happened to you? I got to tell you a funny thing the other night. No, it's not. I'm glad you check. Honestly, I'm really glad you check. Had nothing to do with emotions or anything. Yeah, Friday night, I'm laying, it's actually early Saturday morning. I'd fallen asleep with my hands across my chest like that. It was kind of hot, so I didn't have the blanket pulled all the way up. The fan was going, and I was asleep. And at about, I don't know what time in the morning, she rolled over, flung her arm over on me. Then I feel, my chest was cold, my arms were cold. And she said, I wasn't breathing real deep. She's like, you weren't breathing at all. She's done that to me several times. She's like, oh yeah, okay, I can feel hot air coming out his nose. And I kind of opened one eye, and I knew what she was doing. I had to laugh. So, but we gather together, and we stir up emotions is all we're doing. If God is moving on you and your heart's breaking, I want you to cry. But if you're crying every Sunday, oh, I just can't believe I'm... Come on, get your emotions off your sleeve and realize God is a good God and He loves you. If you're somebody who's walking around beat down all the time, all week, that's why you come in and feel like that. You've let emotions rule your week. Stop it. We're not supposed to live by our emotions. You know, I often think about the war. You know, we talk, you know, Vietnam is the one that they really started being jerky about people. But, you know, oh, you baby killers, you baby killers. You... Anybody read the Bible? God said kill men, women, children, dogs, cats, canaries. Kill it all. You know what? I can speak now. I don't know if I could do that. I really don't. I mean, I understand why he did it, but you stop and think about it. Oh, God's a mean God. God had a purpose. Those people were totally possessed, and they were only hell-bent on bringing child sacrifice. That's all those children were to those people. It's what you need to understand about the Canaanites. Every last one of them participated in child sacrifice. So we come into church. We go, we slide up to the Starbucks counter. We order our mocha latte, half soy, half cream, lightweight, whatever, this, that, and the other. Milk, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just give me black coffee. If you want cream, knock yourself out. Black coffee, you can't go wrong. Now, there's people that like it really stiff. I mean, you can stick your straw or stir stick in and it's still... Is that Richard? Richard likes his strong. I know Jason used to make it strong over. And I said, Jason, you got to change that. I said, this is one place I am the boss. Change that. I've only used that title for a while. I don't like strong coffee. It's got to be good, but not syrup. That's my tea. No. But we've come and we've turned the church into an entertainment venue. Not something holy. We no longer come in to worship. We come in to see what fashion so-and-so is wearing today. What do they got going on? Oh, I don't like what pastor's wife was wearing. I don't care if you like it or not. She's had people. And I've told her, I said, you tell them I don't care. But she didn't. And she wouldn't. And she won't. So I will. If my wife dresses like a prostitute, she'll know before she goes out of the house. But I've been in churches where some of the women up on the stage and the pastor's wife dressed like a prostitute. It's like, what about decent dress? I mean, really? You don't have to look like Laura Ingalls Wilder, but come on. Those clothes are so stinking tight, there's no imagination left. But we've come into a place where people come to the church by thousands every week and they don't believe. They're there for entertainment. Oh, I go to such and such church. I've been seeing some of my friends on Facebook. I try not to be judgmental. You can ask my wife. She's like, no, honey, trust that God's going to move them in the right direction. I said, I am. But I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if people are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching the truth, they're going to know they can't stay in the lifestyle they're living blatantly and keep going to church. Today, the great thing is, let's shack up. It's against the word. It's against God. Where did we miss this? Oh, it's a common thing. Let's just all live. We can live together. Then 10 years later, we'll get married. 6 months later, we'll get divorced. You never believed any of it. I know, I was talking about a man a couple weeks ago, a man that I'd met last year. Lived with a woman for 20 plus years. He got saved and they got married. He realized he had to make that right. Got saved, got married, and I'm going to tell you what the prayer I heard him praying over Knox County Fairgrounds. If people didn't know about Jesus, it was their own dumb fault. And so, people are coming into churches every day, every week, worshiping, 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 and walking out those doors without hearing true word. The word is supposed to change our life. Oh, it can make us happy. I'm hoping today is one of those that we get our toe stepped on. My dog steps on mine all the time. It's not a fun process. He's heavy. And he's got sharp nails. I got cowboy boots, so you're a little safer. By the way, I usually go through the message before I get to deliver it. And so we come in. We sing, we shout, we dance around. Hallelujah. We go to the multiplex over next door in the junior church department, pick up our kids, where they come out and their faces are all painted up. Well, that's fine. What did you learn? I look like a dragon. What did you learn? Miss So-and-so painted my face. They're not learning anything. We're no longer teaching the Bible. But people will not believe. They love to come to church because, well, I could get a little bit of a buzz, a social buzz going on. But I don't want to believe. Do you know Thomas Jefferson did not believe in the miracles in the Bible? As a matter of fact, he had his own Bible written that excluded the miracles of God. Did God use Thomas Jefferson? Absolutely. What did I just tell you? Every king is in God's hands. All right, Jefferson, I'm going to move you. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. He didn't believe it. Ben Franklin, do we really need to go down that road? I think everybody knows what he died of. Syphilis. But yet God used them. These were men that went to church. sat in church and they didn't get anything because it was for social looks. Well, I go to the biggest church in the county. That's great. Is that church preaching the word of God? Is that church praying for the sick? Is that church evangelizing the world? Is that church reaching out? Or is that church trying to build a business? I've told you before, I don't care about the business of church. I really don't. I think it's one of the dumbest things we have to do. I don't want to be go through all this. I know why they do it. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes they tie the hands of the church. Or they tie the hands of the ministry, period. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse 13. This is a scripture out of the parable of the sower. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower now. He said, obviously, the seed is the word, right? It's the word of God you're getting out. And he said, and then it goes out on ground that's too hard. And the birds, it just laid on the top. And the birds came along and picked it up. People never got the word. But then this next group, it said, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. You know, stony ground. There's a little bit of dirt there, isn't there? But it's out of stones. I think somebody talked about stones recently. Receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Here's the greatest temptation. Oh, Lord, my pillow is so comfortable. My bed is so soft. I don't want to get up and get ready. You don't believe. If you fall for the temptation, what's the word say? You fall away. You don't believe. Now, I want to emphasize a little bit on this stone, the stony ground, the rocky ground. Y'all remember last week's message, right? About the we're getting cultivated with praise and worship and the stones and the things. Every last one of you should have probably had something come up today if you're letting God work in you. And it ain't got to be big stones. But things that God takes away, if you will give to him, he will take that and put it in the wall of the sheepfold and protect you. You no longer have to deal with it. It's God's. It's God's responsibility to deal with that thing, not yours. Because you've been forgiven. And if you've been forgiven, there is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is what people who are condemned to die. God takes what you've done. You can bury it and think, oh, and you can ask God to forgive you, but you're still carrying it. Quit carrying it. And he takes it and he puts it right there, pats it down, says, all right, that's mine. Quit picking it up. Quit going back after it. I know it's your polished rock, but quit polishing it. You're trying to protect yourself with it. He says they receive the word with joy, but they've held on to the things. I won't forgive them. Why are you here? You're not getting anything if you don't forgive. You will not be forgiven, by the way. That's something that's not being preached today. But that is scripture. If you read the parables, you read the teachings of Christ, not of anybody else. Jesus said, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. Even in the Lord's Prayer, most of us in here know this by heart. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. If you don't forgive, God's going to forgive your trespasses as you've forgiven. In other words, they ain't forgiven. You're still carrying them. You're still responsible for them. That's why people go to hell. God doesn't send one person to hell. Let's get that straight. God has never sent one person to hell. Even Lucifer's not, or Satan. Satan's not even there now. Satan's still running free. But his time's coming. He don't want to be alone. He's scared of the dark. If we will forgive, God will forgive. If we keep going back and holding this over their heads, and I'm preaching it myself, folks. You can ask my wife. She's like, I thought you forgave them. I said, I did. I got to go back to the Lord. I got to remind myself, I forgave them of that. Don't know that they meant to do it, but boy, were they a jerk. People believe. There are people in the churches today who believe. They get excited. They hear a little bit of the word, but they don't want to get rid of their pet sins. I'm just going to hold on to this one right here. You can't have that. I'm going to keep that stone. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a bride who's spotless and without blemish, right? No wrinkle, no. Well, here's all we're imagining still in our minds. You know, ironing out that train, that dress, you know, ironing that thing out. Woo! Doggy, making sure there's no spots on it for the day, right? The truth of the matter is, it has nothing to do with that dress. It has everything to do with the stones that are in your heart. It has everything to do with the garbage that you're holding on to. What's in the ground beneath you right now, even in this spot, I'll tell you what you're going to hit. You're going to hit a water line running right down through the middle here. You're going to hit stone, a layer of plastic. Then you're going to hit some clay. And then you're going to hit whatever was here 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 1,000 years ago. You following me? You're going to pick up whatever was there that long ago. I got to speak to a guy the other night about, he was actually working on the mammoth dig over here at Cedar Creek outside Johnsville. And they had found some tooth of another, they called it some sort of moose. It was evidently a gigantic moose. I'm like, if they ain't big enough. But anyhow, we started talking about that. And, you know, and I know everybody else around the table just kind of, okay, he's getting too technical. But I kind of nerded out a little bit because I wanted to be an archaeologist. I just hated school. So that wasn't happening. But we were talking about it, and he said, now you used to dig stuff. He said, did you ever find arrowheads around here? He said, oh, yeah. I said, I got several really nice examples. And I told him I said, I have this one arrowhead. I actually found it over when Rob Peters and I, we were teenagers. We were walking across the field. It had just been plowed. I looked down, and here's this arrowhead. It's about that long, about that wide, kind of knife shape, but not a point. And I told him, and he said, oh, yeah. He said, that's a knife. He said, that would have been a knife. And he said, that one, he said, I know what you're talking about because I've seen the examples. He said, that one's about 5,000 years old. I said, are you kidding me? 5,000 years old. I said, really? And I said, I got one I think is older than that because I said, it's not as refined. It's not as pretty. I said, it looks like a piece of coal, but it's flint. I said, and the tip of it's a little jacked. I mean, kind of like that. And I said, it's just not as finessed. And he says, well, what you're describing, he said, and he told me, he said, I understand that the time frames I've been given you guys about this, he said, they don't line up with your Bible. I didn't tell him what I actually believe. I believe there was a world here, but it fell into judgment. But that's a whole other message for another time. He said, but the little arrowhead you're telling me that you found in our garden outside Chesterville, that big, he said, is around 12,000 years old. Now think about that for a minute, folks. I found it in the spot where somebody lost it. Whether they skinned out a mastodon or whatever they were trying to take. Or mammoth. Mammoth is what they were finding around here. Whether they just did that, I don't know. But what I can promise you is it was there at one point. And because the ground had gotten plowed and brought up and turned over. Every time you do that, the earth is constantly pushing and it pushed it up to the top. Just like your body will fester a splinter, it'll push it out. If you will let God, first off, through the praise and worship, come in and plow the ground and lay your heart open. Then you're like, wow, I got this big old rock I got to get out of there. I talked to you last week about the farmers plowing when they hit a big rock. You know, I praise God for all the farmers that did that. All you farmers who went out and people who picked up rocks out of fields and piled them off to the side, I thank you. It makes it easier for me to go pick them up because I like rock gardens. A lot easier than going through the field by myself, jumping on the four-wheeler. And when you let God take those things away from you and remove them, then your heart is ready for some seed. There's a time to grow with that. Then you grow. But guess what? There's another season coming. You got to plow again. And when you plow again, more comes up. That's why I miss the plowing. You don't find arrowheads anymore. It's no-till. So it's very hard to find because you're not turning way down. I mean, them plows would get down in there and they'd bring that stuff and turn it completely over. And that's what God does. He gets way down in there. It's like, all right, this has moved up far enough. It's time to deal with this. I'm going to take this thing away from you, but you got to let it, you got to give it up so that the seed, so you can believe. So that when you come in here and you hear words of faith and speaking life, you can believe. There was a man who came to Jesus and he said, Lord, your disciples have prayed for my boy. And they couldn't deliver him. He looked at him and said, you faithless people. Paraphrased. And he said, do you believe? He said, only believe. You need to believe. But the man answered this. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When I was reading that in my Bible, it had a little note that referenced another scripture of the same thing of the disciples. So apparently the wording is pretty much the same. It meant increase my belief. He believed that God could do it. But now he needed to see it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're not looking for signs. I don't need a sign to know that Jesus Christ is real. You know why? Too much of the world is trying to shut it down. They don't go after Buddhism. They don't go after transcendental meditation, Hinduism. I mean, crying out loud. Go down here to these hotels. Look behind the counter. You see their eight-armed gods. Their elephant-headed gods. They're people of reverence that they're now worshiping as a god, hanging on the wall. Those are idols. My parents used to work there, I know. They cleaned the rooms. And they don't attack that. They attack Jesus Christ. They don't want you preaching Jesus Christ. Well, you know, you Christians, y'all came over here and you killed all the Indians. We didn't kill them all. And no, I didn't. A corrupt government did. The government did it. You can't hide behind Christianity and say, well, I'm of the government and I'm here to help you. Here's some blankets. Knowing that they're laced with smallpox. That is not godly. God sent people to preach. Nowhere did God ever say, if they don't receive them, kill them. Nowhere. He said, if they don't receive you, shake the dirt off your feet and go on. Nowhere did he say, kill them. Because many of these tribes believed that there was one great God. They just like to worship others too. And in some areas, they believe the Cherokee tribe is a lost tribe of Israel that was sent over by Solomon. Because they believe in one God. That's a whole other subject for another day. It's very interesting. We all think, oh yeah, Leif Erikson, he was the first one to make it to North America. Not by what people are finding in caves written in Hebrew that's been gone for since Solomon. They're finding things all over the world, pillars with Hebraic writing on them, dating them to King Solomon. God said there would be no greater kingdom. Stop and think about it. By the way, you do notice that the Cherokee are still around. They're still around. Yeah. We tried to wipe them out. Remember the Trail of Tears? But my point being, you can't hide behind Christianity and do evil things. You're not a Christian. There's a time for war. I get it. But you don't attack people in the name of God. We should never have gotten involved in the holy wars. Killed thousands and thousands of people. Now, we believe. Therefore, we need to start receiving what he's bringing us. He's bringing us deliverance. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 2, verse 19. This is the one that's going to hurt people. None of the rest of it I know has bothered you. Here's the one that's going to smack people right smack dab in your forehead. You believe that there's one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. You come in, oh, I believe God, and you go out and act like a jackass the rest of the week. Attend the Bible. You go out and act like that the rest of the week. Right there's what James said. James was the pastor of Jerusalem. You do well. Even the demons believe, but they at least have respect for God. They tremble knowing judgment's coming. Not. Oh, hey, we believe, we believe, we believe. You know what you are to me when you run around? I believe, I believe. You're a talking, dancing donkey singing, I believe, I believe, I believe. You need to watch Shrek. That's all you are. You don't believe. You're trying to manipulate people into thinking you believe. You need to get it settled in your heart, and then you need, oh, wait a minute. Get here. If this is where God has called you, you get here. You get here where the word's being preached. Because I'm going to promise you, you go out that door, if you don't have any word, you don't have a seed, the sun is going to dry that ground up. It's going to parch it. And the work's got to start all over again. Because you know what happened? If you didn't let that seed of the word of God take root and grow, you reached over into the fence row, you pulled out your rock, and you put it back in there. I'm going to protect that thing. You had no word. You believed for a moment, but when it got hot, because you had no roots, you dried up. I don't want to see anybody, not just here, but anybody, lured away by entertainment, thinking, I'm good. There's going to be good people in hell. We need to understand that. And there's going to be people we look at in heaven and say, how did you get here? The same way you did. Accepted Jesus Christ. There might have been people in the bosom of Abraham who knew Jesus was coming. And when Jesus looked at the one thief on his other side and he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say it to the other thief. He said it to the one, and when they crossed over into paradise, they were like, how did you get here? He believed that Jesus was the Lord. He believed in Jesus as the Messiah. That's how you get there. Well, I just can't believe God would take... Listen, you need to get this settled in your heart once and for all. You are not their judge. Yes, you should live a good life, a godly life. And if you keep going out and doing garbage things to people, that tells me right there, you don't really believe. You mistreat people, you talk about people, I don't care who you are. Well, I'm going to tell people what I think. Here's what I'm going to tell you what James said. The tongue is a tiny little device that unless you bring it into subjection, I'm paraphrasing all this, you will destroy yourself and other people. A rudder on a ship is a tiny little device and it turns that great big ship. It's not big by comparison. I mean, if you've ever seen these giant cargo ships out of the water, you know, you've seen them propellers. Those propellers are as tall as this room. The rudders are just a little bit bigger. But remember, the ship is 10 stories tall. That's 100 feet. 14 feet don't seem like anything compared to that. It's tiny in comparison. But yet they turn that captain up here, just spins that wheel. That ship goes. We've got to start believing the word of God. And by believing it, that means putting it into action. It's the only way. God will take you out of here today with the word I've shared today, and he will let that start to go. Just little things. That's why I like rabbit trails, just so you know. So you get little bits of everything. Because if I just gave you, just talked about faith and never threw a little, hey, while we're here, look at this, boom. Because you know what, that may not have been for you. That might have been for Pat. Pat might have said, I've been dealing with that. God, how did, well, what? Because God loves Pat. And he knows that he's got a rabbit-chasing preacher. He'll do it. I'll send Pat there, boom. God just dropped a word, the seed into his heart, and Pat can now let that word go into his heart and grow and produce fruit. And that's what we all have to do. We all have to do that. Now, before we're settled up today, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on you. I told you, I'm starting to bring, I got away from that just because I had this thought. It was a brain cramp. But there is a certain amount of personal responsibility we have in each in our own faith. I can pray for you until I'm blue into faith. Faith. I can be blue into faith too. If you don't believe it and go out and practice it, then what was my prayer for? But what I want to pray is this past week I had somebody share a stone that God told them they had to deal with. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know how hard that was. They had to tell me. And I prayed for them. And some of you, I hope last week, through this week, that after last week and even this Sunday, you've gotten the ground plowed and worked up and you got those stones. I'm hoping there's some big ones right there that you need to just let God take and say, all right, now we're going to put it in the wall. And you're not going to touch it again. So let's all stand. If there's anybody in here who wants me to pray for them, they've got some rocks to deal with. You know what they are. And if you need to talk to me about them, I'm available. But if you want me to pray for you about getting rid of these rocks, come on up. Because I'm going to do it as soon as I find my oil. I'm telling you, folks, it ain't got to be anything big. It can be just little things. Everybody's, well, I ain't got nothing big in my life. It's the little foxes. Yeah. You know, everybody's worried. Oh, coyotes, coyotes, coyotes. And then we hear they're going to bring in wolves. Y'all do realize coyotes are about yay tall. Wolves are this tall. Anybody ever seen a wolfhound? There's a reason they were bred to be long-legged, so they could be big. But the coyotes are the ones we're focusing on. The coyotes are the ones hurting the deer and the rabbits and the fox and your cats. I'm not around your cats. But I'm going to lay hands and pray for you that God will help you deal with your stones. That you let him have them once and for all. You know, I'm looking around, you know, I got people of about every age group up here right now. That means some of you have been carrying these rocks for a while. And I think you're tired of it, amen? I don't know about you, I'm tired of carrying the crap I'm carrying. And sorry if my French offends you. I think it's actually English, but hallelujah. So let those of you out there reach your hands forward and pray for your brothers and sisters. You've got a prayer language, begin to pray in it. And those of you up in here, you can even pray, because I'm going to right now pray that God begins to deliver you guys of these stones and things that you're carrying around. Father.